Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents On the Record. Now, here's Andre Gardner.
Over the course of my 40-plus year career, I've been involved in a couple of format changes. That's where, you know, you're working at one station that's one format, and then all of a sudden, it's completely a different radio station. I didn't survive all those format changes. A lot of times they threw me out with the rest of the staff when they decided to make a change. But in one case, in 1983, I could not have been more happy with the format change. I was working at Wi-Fi 92, and the station wasn't doing very well in the ratings. Hot Hits 98 had come along and pretty much kicked our butts after the fall of 81. So we spent about the next year and a half trying to gain some traction. So we went a little softer in the music, went a little poppier in the music, and finally decided we couldn't really go anywhere with what we were doing. So one of our executives at the company at the time heard about this punk rock music that was taking the world by storm, and then about the success of a radio station on the West Coast called KROQ out of Los Angeles, the mighty K-Rock, legendary radio station. Their program director slash consultant was a guy named Rick Carroll, and Rick Carroll actually christened the format the Rock of the 80s, which would later give birth to the whole alternative format on the radio. But it really was Rick Carroll who started it all. So our program director in Philly at the time, Roy Lawrence, held a meeting to tell the staff that we were going to be changing our format and we were going to be going new wave or rock of the 80s. It was so much fun being on that station. The music was fresh, the presentation was different, and in addition to those of us who hung around from the old format, they brought in some fresh young talent from the city to be on the station. And the first one of those young talents I met is a guy I'm still friends with today, 35 years later, the great Mel Toxic, who started there professionally, later went on to great success at WPST and later at WYSP in the 90s. And Mel is actually joining me right now to talk about that crazy time at the station called I-92. Mel, thanks for being on the podcast, dude.
Oh, it is so nice to be back on the air with Mohawk. Wow.
Mohawk, how did you get contacted to be on this rather experimental radio station?
Well, I remember opening up the Philadelphia Daily News, and I saw this article that said, hey, some kind of Rock of the 80s format was coming to Philadelphia. And at that time, I was still going to Drexel University. I was on WKDU doing a new wave radio show, kind of like a Casey Kasem top 40 of modern rock. And unbeknownst to me, me doing that at Drexel University's WKDU, it was exactly what Rick Carroll, the program director, was looking for, sort of a fast-paced, upbeat, top 40 presentation of new wave music. And boom, I got on the bus, headed out to Ballard-Kenwood, knocked on the door. This is a true story. Banged on the door with my cassette tape and my air check. And I was 21 years old, taking a bus out there. And boom, it was a Saturday. It was all closed. I kept on banging. When I was walking away, out comes Mike Brophy, also known as Bill E. And I handed him the tape. And that Monday, they called me up and they invited me in.
That's how it happened. So you actually showed up pounding on the door. I never knew that. That's hilarious.
That's exactly what happened. And I remember being on the bus. And another thing I also remember is my very first paycheck. And remember, I made no money. I was still on college radio. My first paycheck was $238. And I thought that was unbelievable for me to get paid to say, we're in the middle of 45 minutes, and here's Adam and the Ants.
Or Pigbag or Ministry, all those great bands that I know I heard for the first time. There was already a great community of new wavers and punk rockers and stuff in town. And I just was kind of disappointed that, you know, the company at the time never really gave it the chance. I kind of saw the writing on the wall, too, that I felt for a while that they had just wanted to put something on the air until they sold the station. Did you get that sense at all, too?
No, I was just still so amazingly happy I was on the air. I wasn't really caught up in anything about the future. I just thought that I have arrived. And little did I know that within 6 months, I would be relegated to overnight doing the new 92, Urban 92, where Mel Toxic was introducing a George Benson record.
Which actually, although at the time it may have been horrific for you, but think about it now. You busted out. You ended up getting very successful on YSP later on. So it turned into a nice radio career for you, Melvanius.
I have nothing but good things to say about it. And when I met you for the first time, I always knew about you because I always listened to you on the radio. But then I got to see that I was one of the few people with actually the name Mel Toxic I was using. Other people were like the radio radical Tim Dougherty, or you adopted the name of Mohawk or Bill E. Thrasher. But it was a great time. And boy, that was spectacular music. And I got to meet, you know, face-to-face, got to meet Adam the Ants and the English Beat and the Thompson Twins by being a part of that radio station.
And, of course, the great Lee Paris, who was sort of the anchor of the radio station and used to run the Kennel Club back in the day. Wonderful guy. Had a lot of great ideas who sadly left us too early.
Part of it makes me smile, and part of it is somewhat bittersweet because I remember how much fun I had, and it's hard to believe that much time has passed that quickly.
I know. It's so hard to believe 35 years, but some great memories of that very first new wave station in Philadelphia back in 1983, I-92. Still might have a bumper sticker somewhere in my collection. That's about it.